Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Well, do it live! F*** it! Do it live!
Dude, we're here!
Dude! We are here.
Moments after the Sharks win.
And after a lousy call on Jamie McGinn and 5 minutes of pure hell, the Sharks, Jumbo Joe Thornton, actually pulled the trigger on a shot. I'm surprised he didn't skate it around the net. And wait, we'll get to that later. Sharks win. Sharks win the series 4-2. They brush off these pesky LA Kings. Dude, we're going to the second round.
Going to the second round, dude. We're going to be facing either Chicago or Detroit. We'll be talking about that later on in the show. But first, let's revel in the victory for a moment, shall we?
Oh, boy. Well, a really solid effort from the guys tonight. You cannot fault their effort and energy level for the entire game. I felt like it was there. There are some strategic things that either by player error or coaching error, I know I want to talk about tonight, but let's focus on the positive first.
Absolutely.
The Sharks get a bad call on Jamie McGinn. A penalty, yes.
Mm-hmm.
5 minute major.
I was in the chat room, and I want to give the shout out to all the people who joined the chat during the game.
The chat's been a huge success.
It's been a big success. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. And I think people were even there for game five, which I even jumped in at the intermission once to see if it was going on. And it was. We had a bunch of people come in and out tonight, and I had a discussion with some people in the chat room. I'm not even sure that's a penalty. Yeah, I mean, I understand how people think it's a charge, but you're not allowed to skate all the way across the ice to hit a guy who has the puck until a half second before you hit him. I mean, if that's really the rule, then they should call charging several times a game, because you see that happen all the time. Guy behind the net has the puck, guy skates right at him, he gets rid of the puck, and then he gets hit. Isn't that a charging by the same standard? I don't understand. Let's not dwell on this too much.
But I brought it up because it was a pivotal moment in the game.
Absolutely,
it was. I mean, that is a 5 minute penalty at the end of the game. And, you know, I did come over here to your casa, also our sound studio.
That's right.
To watch the overtime, because I just couldn't take it alone. I needed you to hold me so that I could get through the overtime. But I really. Dude, I had little confidence that there would be an overtime when that penalty was taken. 3 minutes of power play time at the end of the game. I really thought they'd find a way to get one of those shots, those off-angle shots, and a rebound. And in it came. But Sharks, best penalty kill in recent memory.
Yes.
Outstanding job.
It was sort of the point where they played that last penalty kill like they just had nothing to lose, right? I mean, they were thinking, we're supposed to lose right here. Let's just leave it all the way out there. And it didn't seem like that on their other penalty kills. Were they 2-for-2 on the other penalties? Was there a 4 minute? There was a 4 minute that they killed, I think. So they weren't 100% on the power play. But the Kings certainly did look fearsome on the power play all night with two power play goals. And, the fact that they got a 5 minute power play at the end of the game, including fresh ice and OT, you have to think to yourself, man, this game is basically over considering how bad the Sharks' power play has been.
Well, the kill was outstanding at the beginning of the overtime. I mean, I don't even think they got set up. I mean, they may have got set up once. So really, really outstanding in the overtime. And then the Sharks just kept the pressure on. And, Setoguchi, taking the Patrick Kane detour around the back of the net.
Yeah.
Which we, have seen the Sharks do. We saw Joe Thornton do it in the third period tonight had about what felt like a 3 hour possession of the puck, but with just him.
Yeah.
He wasn't even passing it.
That's something you don't see every day, where Joe is literally standing 2 feet away from the goalie in front of the net.
Yeah.
And they almost stare each other down. I think one of them might have winked at the other. And then Joe chooses not to shoot, even though Jonathan Quick didn't even have his goalie stick, and the stick he did have was upside down with the knob pointed at the ice.
Joe goes, that's not the shot I'm looking for.
I could get better than this. I can get a better
score.
Then
he takes the detour to the other side. He still has the puck.
I know. He doesn't shoot that either.
It was crazy. That was such a crazy moment. It was maddening. I can't believe it. There was another moment, too, where Patrick Marleau had the puck in the slot,
mm-hmm.
and he also didn't shoot it. Now the guys were saying, you know, to us on the camera, it looked like he had a pretty good opportunity. Maybe it wasn't as good from his angle on the ice, but
right.
it seemed like there were times, and I remember I was in the chat room for, you mentioned this, that the Sharks were just looking for the perfect shot. You know, instead of doing what the Kings were doing,
right.
which was just throwing everything, pucks, their shoes, their dead grandmothers.
I know.
You know, throwing anything at the net, knowing that Niemi was going to give a rebound on something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would come in. I mean, they would crash hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Manute Bol, you know, shooting a shot, and then you knew it was not going to make it, and you came in, you just rushed the boards, right?
Run at the basket even before, because you know there's no way he's going to make
it. Extra props, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, let's talk about Auntie Niemi tonight, dude. Mm-hmm. Redemption?
I think so. I think he made some pivotal key saves at big times. I don't think any of the goals were his fault. I know I wrote a post that kind of bashed him pretty bad after game five. I think I still think he deserved it. And I think
he absolutely deserved
and
it.
And I think he had a hand at all three of those goals, and I'm not sure any of the goals tonight were really his fault. Maybe he could have made the save on one or two of them, but yeah, I mean, like the Ryan Smith goal is just like a bang bang play right
there. They're
in
all
front.
Rebounds, right?
I think the first goal he would want back, because that was a pretty fat rebound to Jason Williams, I think. So that would be the only one he might want back. And I could see him sort of cursing himself after that one. And I sort of thought to myself at that point, I'm like, if he's really, you know, talking to himself after the first goal and we're in the second period, what do we have in store for the rest of the game? But he really came up big several times.
He made some huge saves, some big saves. And, you know, apparently, if we're going on track record, you know, we saw the best of Auntie Niemi at the end of the year. I mm-hmm. mean, that's it doesn't yeah. get much better than that.
No.
And if you look at his playoff resume as a Stanley Cup winning goaltender, in the first round last year against Nashville, he was pretty bad in a couple games,
yep.
and he had two shutouts. So you look at that performance, and then you look at how he did in this series. Well, you know, did he have a shutout? No. But in you know, the three games that he was instrumental in them getting part of the win. I mean, he played well
mm-hmm.
in those three games. So even though he gave up, you know, three goals each time, I think, maybe even more than that. I'm mm-hmm. blanking on the score of the first game.
Yeah, me too.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
How about
matter.
That? Doesn't matter.
Winning.
That's all that matters. It's over. It's a distant memory. The Kings can talk about what was and what could have been.
Right.
Cool. I like it. We're getting some. Dude,
so
this
next
is a dramatic music.
Isn't it though?
So where should we go with this dramatic music? Should we name the player of the series?
I think we should.
All right, dude. Who is your player of the series for the San Jose Sharks?
Guy who is a little bit, who wasn't really on the board tonight, but my player of the series is Ryan Klo. I thought he was one of the most consistent players for the entire series. I think he was definitely, you know, the best player for the Sharks in two or three of the games without a doubt. And my vote is Ryan Klo. I thought he was playing the Kings against the Kings in the right way as well. I mean, he was not afraid to take to the game to them physically, not afraid to crash the net, not afraid to put pucks on. I like the way Ryan Klo played all this series. Clutch.
I'm going to have to go with Ben Eager. dude. Oh, I need the dramatic music.
Oh, you still want?
Okay. I gotta let it play for mine.
I'm sorry.
You don't get it for yours. This is sort of greedy dramatic music time, dude.
I do.
Let me revel in my moment.
I do control the sound effects.
You do.
Okay.
I'm going with Ian White.
Nice.
Ian White, I think, maybe the best defenseman for the Sharks in this series. And
yeah.
you started to see him out there a lot more.
Yeah.
And you started to see him out there a lot more on the power play. And right now, God, dude, there's no two bigger Dan Boyle fans than the two of us. But I think Ian White should be playing a decent share of those minutes right now.
Yeah.
Because he's out playing Dan Boyle. He's playing better right now. Is he a better player than Dan Boyle? No. okay? But right now, you got to ride the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like McClellan, I don't have the minutes in front of me right now, but I feel like McClellan has been figuring that out a little bit and has been leaning more on Ian White. I just feel like that guy can get a shot through anytime he wants. Anytime he wants.
Yeah, and that seems to be one of the biggest problems about all the other Sharks, frankly, is they can't seem to get it through. I mean, the Kings are putting two or three guys in the shooting lane, so it's not like it's just an easy job to get the puck through. But here, I'm pulling up the stat sheet here right now. So Ian White played, 1904. And we have Dan Boyle with 25:52. So
yeah, well, Boyle clearly has the most minutes. But, you know, Ian White, I think, was, you know, at 17 minutes earlier in the series. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's getting a little bit more time.
Looks like White was the number three defenseman in terms of power play time. Is that right?
Well, that definitely should be the case. And yeah, it looks like he outplayed Demers in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he also...
Just not Murray, right?
Just didn't outplay Murray tonight.
Vlasic, he had more than Vlasic. Definitely more than Volin, who was down to 15:33, so...
Well, all right.
Well, all right, then.
Then here you go. Yep. Ian White, kudos. So that's my Sharks player of the series. Thought he came up pretty huge, dude.
I think so, too, dude.
So, shall we kill the music? Oh, nice. That's so effective.
I'm good at this.
Good players tonight also. Torrey Mitchell...
Yeah.
Really great game.
Mm-hmm.
And that line was especially solid, but he had a few really solid defensive moments. Danny Heatley, hello. Thank you for showing up, Mr. Sniper.
Yeah. Kyle Wellwood,
some good times.
It's a good goal. Good goal by Kyle Wellwood.
Good goal. When's the last time you can remember Heatley scoring a pure goal scorer's goal like that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while, right?
It's been a while.
That was a delight to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude, here we are, end of the first round. We've got one more game to go tomorrow night. Do or die. It's either a continuation for the Vancouver Canucks of what's been a President's Trophy winning season,
mm-hmm,
or one of the biggest choke jobs in recent NHL memory, mm-hmm, where now they've gone down. They will have lost four in a row, dude.
Well, okay, so didn't Washington go up 3-0 and lose last year?
Correct.
So this would be a bigger choke job because this is a 1-8 pair, right?
Well, but who did Washington lose to? Montreal, right?
Yeah.
So now you've got Vancouver losing to the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? I mean, maybe that's not right. Fair. You know, maybe I'm overselling it a little bit for dramatic purposes, you know?
I'd say any 3-0 loss, especially when you're talking... Okay, so let's... You're right about the Stanley Cup champions, and I'll give you that side. The other side is Vancouver was A, the President's Trophy winner, B, obviously the most points in the NHL, C, I believe they also led the league in goals scored and had the least number of goals allowed, which, if I remember correctly, don't quote me or correct me on Twitter or in a comment or something, that's the only time it's ever happened in NHL history.
Whoa.
So we're talking, Vancouver's been a pretty historical team in terms of performance this year.
They are a elite team.
Without question. Yeah, I mean, they've been one of the most dominant regular season teams in a long time.
But now you're seeing, I mean, I don't follow, not been following this series super closely, but I do know this.
John Scott is the greatest player ever.
They did not play Roberto Luongo, at least did not intentionally play him
right
in game six.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been doing quite a bit of shuffling on their blue line. Keith Ballard has been scratched. I don't think it's because he's injured.
Mm.
I think it's because he's been scratched. And then they also continue to shuffle some other guys in and out of that lineup. They're changing up lines. It seems like a little bit of a panic job here.
Mm-hmm.
By the best team in the NHL is pushing the panic button. Is there any doubt that if they lose tomorrow night, I mean, Alain Vigneault may as well, like, get on the bus and leave town?
Well, I don't know enough about Mike Gillis to make that call. I don't know if you can ditch the coach for one major meltdown. Because if so, you know, Bruce Boudreau will be out of a job. Tom McClellan will be out of a job. There'll be a lot of coaches out of jobs.
This is a pressure cooker right now.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, actually, funny because my mom was just on vacation up in Vancouver, and she was up there. She came back yesterday and said that.
They're freaking out.
They are freaking out. They are completely flipping out up there that it is borderline bedlam.
Yeah, yeah.
And that if they lose tomorrow night in Vancouver, oh man.
Could there be like a Montreal-esque riot? Remember when Montreal won and then there was a riot and they destroyed a bunch of stuff?
You like to think Vancouver maybe is too mellow of a city. They're sort of like the Canadian San Francisco.
Yeah, I would.
I don't know if they have that in them, but right. I hope not.
There won't be a lot of happy campers in Vancouver.
Oh, no.
Let's put it that way.
Oh, man. So, dude, tell listeners, what should we be rooting for tomorrow night? Because Blackhawks win, Blackhawks play Sharks, and then the Red Wings play the Nashville Predators, and then... if the Vancouver Canucks win, then we get the Detroit Red Wings in a rematch of last year's conference semis. What are you pulling for here?
This is a bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I mean, this is not exactly the dream second round matchup that you would hope. But, you know, you got to fight through good teams in order to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and that's no excuse. I am really at odds because... normally, I would say the Red Wings, but the fact is, because we beat them last year, but they just rolled Phoenix, and I did not expect that. I mean, obviously, I was so wrong. I think I picked... did we both pick Phoenix to win the series?
We did.
Yeah, so we probably shouldn't have brought that up just now because we just lost all credibility, but...
We've been wrong on several so far.
You think? Yeah, I have no idea why anybody's even listening right now.
Because it's entertaining.
Yeah, it's certainly not for the picks. Anyway, so normally I would say Detroit, but if they weren't just sitting on their hands waiting around, I don't know Zetterberg's status. Do you right now?
Well, I imagine whatever it is, it's improved because they've had right. some time off.
Right.
I mean, is this work to a benefit of a team like Detroit? And they've had, you know, they will have had a week off between games here. If you're rolling like that and now you've just been sitting around, I mean, couldn't that work in the Sharks' benefit?
Well, this question comes up every single year, right? Do you want to sit around and wait, or do you want to, you know, keep the momentum going? In the Wings case, it's a veteran team. They have a guy that's hurt and needs to come back. I think the time off only helps the Wings. I don't think the Wings are, with Lidstrom and Datsyuk and all the great players that they have, they're not just suddenly going to forget how to play hockey by not playing for a week.
Right.
So I don't think that's going to negatively affect the Red Wings in any way. You know, I almost want to punt this and say it's the same. If I had to make a call, I'm going to go ahead. I can't. If I had to make a call, I'm still going to pick the Red Wings, I think. But it's by a hair, and I could easily be convinced that the Blackhawks are a better matchup at this point for the Sharks. Because they would have basically given all their possible effort to get past Vancouver, and we may be able to catch them on the downslope of a bit of a letdown, and they might be a little bit banged up. But... for me, I like the... frankly, we looked at the records right before we started recording, and we have the same record in the regular season against both teams. I think one of the Chicago wins was actually in overtime, so Chicago may actually have more points against us than Detroit, but we were 3-1 against both teams in the regular season. So it's a coin flip, dude. I'm going to take Detroit, although I'm not happy about either pick. What do you got?
I'm going to differ with you, dude, and I'm going to take the Blackhawks. Although I think the Sharks should win both matchups. I really do. You know, we saw, you know, when you go mano a mano against Detroit, which the nice thing about playing the Red Wings will be this, and maybe I'm talking myself into Detroit as I'm saying this sentence, is that Detroit sort of has the same moxie that Todd McClellan has because he comes from the Detroit house, mm-hmm. that, you know, the San Jose Sharks didn't really game plan for LA. They're sort of like, we're going to play like us, mm-hmm. and you can try and stop us, you know? Mm-hmm. And LA did all kinds of different things to try and slow down the Sharks. Detroit's not going to game plan for San Jose. San Jose's not going to game plan for Detroit. They're going to go pull out both their guns and knives and just firefight, mm-hmm. like they did last year. You know, mm-hmm. we know what they both do. They play almost exactly identical,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, we saw in a firefight last year, we were better, mm-hmm. you know, the Sharks were better and shouldn't it be that way this year too? I would expect that would be the case, but, they couldn't stop Joe Thornton. I mean, they had no answer for Jumbo. Like mm-hmm. that line just completely killed them. So maybe that would be the same thing, with Chicago, because they're going to be playing a little bit of the underdog role. you know, maybe they're going to be a little more apt to game plan here, mm-hmm. To try, and they're not going to be as cocky maybe as last year. Even though they are the Stanley Cup champions, I think they have a little bit more of a chip on their shoulder since they were the eighth seed. So it might be a little bit more difficult, dude. Oh, gosh, dude. I was going to say the Blackhawks, but I'm going to talk about this. I can't believe I'm picking Detroit over an eighth seed.
I know.
So we're rooting for Vancouver tomorrow? So that means Vancouver's still in the tournament?
Yeah.
Long-term planning, dude.
Yeah.
Don't we want them out?
This is a tough call.
Dude, I'm going root for the Blackhawks tomorrow.
Okay, good.
We would rather have the Blackhawks.
So now we got our bases covered. So at least one of us is going to be right. Because usually it's neither.
That's right, dude. So I'm rooting for Chicago tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Either way, let's be honest, okay? Either way, we're going through Chicago and we're going through Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we don't play Detroit, they're going to be waiting for us at the end anyways.
That's right.
And would you rather go through Detroit and Vancouver or Chicago and Detroit? Does it matter? Maybe it doesn't matter.
I don't think it really
matters.
Maybe
it's all the pillars of hell.
Yeah. it's all the same.
Well, dude, I think the good news is the Sharks have played well against both these teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, played that well against Vancouver this year.
No.
They might have split the series, but certainly, you know, didn't take the series. So either way, it's going to be another very exciting round of playoff hockey.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the Sharks showed some grit again tonight. There was some massive adversity they faced. They gave up the tying goal 18 seconds into the third period. You could tell yourself, okay, they got to come out in the third period and, you know,
Jay Woodcroft was still talking about the stuff they had to do.
I think he was still giving the bench interview when they scored. And, you know, Ryan Smith just comes down, it's like bang, bang, he jams it in. They're like, woo, and everybody goes crazy. And we're just sitting there dumbfounded. But they fought back from that. They had a 5-minute major go not their way. They could have completely lost their crap at that point. You know, a lot of people on Twitter, EJ Raddick amongst them, said that it was not a good call by the referees. You could see the Sharks losing composure in that moment. I can't recall ever seeing a call like that in the last few minutes of a tie playoff game ever. And, you know, I've watched a bit of playoff hockey. I don't recall ever seeing a call like that. And the Sharks could have completely just lost it. They could have just been so mad about it. But you know what? They put together their best penalty kill of the game. They killed in the overtime and they won. That is some massive grit.
Nice, dude.
This is a little bit of something different from the Sharks. I mean, I'm going to be honest. This is a little bit of something different than what we saw last year. I mean, we saw last year grit against Colorado, but I feel like this is on another level this year, given all the stuff that they went against. I mean, last year they had one play not go their way with the whole crazy Dan Boyle tip play against Nabokov, and everybody was freaking out a little bit, and they had to come from being down in the series. But there's been some crazy comebacks this year.
This would be a good poll question, mm-hmm. I think. Which is a better series win? Last year against Colorado, when we're down 2-1, you have to overcome the Boyle business,
right?
To come, I mean, you know, we had to do an exorcism,
right?
Things were going so poorly, and you had Craig Anderson, who was like a magician,
right?
And then this series, you know, same sort of deal, goes six games. You've got Quick playing out of his mind. You know, which series to you rings truer as a better victory,
mm-hmm.
Kings, Avs, or? Neither. We should have kicked both their asses.
Right.
Which way, dude?
It's a good poll question, dude. And you'll see it on dudesonhockey.com as you're listening to this.
Well, dude, should we wrap it up?
I think we should.
We'll probably be back shortly with a preview of the next round.
I think we will. And very exciting win tonight.
Nice. Congrats, dude.
Very shaky win. My heart rate was 150 beats per minute there for a while when it was just the crazy part of the game. And what a thriller of a victory by the Sharks.
We jumped around and screamed.
We did. There was a lot of expletives.
Yeah. A lot of gesturing.
A lot of gesturing. A lot of
inappropriate gesturing.
Yes.
Yes. Directed towards Drew Doughty.
Yes.
Who, you know, we must say that the Kings, we could have done some damage. We could have done some long-term damage this weekend. We were 5 feet from Anze Kopitar
yeah.
at a restaurant. We were taking our lovely wives out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And as is apt to happen at this restaurant, we've seen the entire Sharks team there.
Yeah, we have.
And then this time we turn around at the bar. I'm like, dude, is that on? That guy really looks like Anze Kopitar. Mike goes, dude.
That's definitely Anze Kopitar.
Because he sort of has that sunken zombie look.
Yeah.
You know?
Some say raccoon, some say zombie. Call it what you will.
Yeah. I was going to tap him on the shoulder and be like, you were great in 28 days later.
But he was on crutches.
He was.
He had the big boot on.
He did have the boot on. He's recovering from ankle surgery, I believe. He was there with a bunch of other guys. I mean, there was a guy standing right in front of us who looked like Drew Doughty's fat brother. I mean, like, I don't know. For a moment, I mean, it really kind of looked like him, but there's no way that it was.
It wasn't him.
I just tried to talk myself into it. I do think one of the other guys there was Dustin Brown. I mean, there was a guy standing at the bar. I do. I when I looked at the picture, I do think one of those guys was Dustin Brown. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We didn't talk to them.
No.
We could have followed Kopitar to the bathroom, clubbed him with his own cane,
right,
and run out of the restaurant. But we would have got a 5-minute major for that.
We would have, and it would not have been a good call at that point in the game. No. You know, don't want to go on the PK there.
No.
Eating Italian food.
I guess. So we'll be back looking for visiting teams. I guess that maybe is their hangout.
It could be.
I think someone's like, you got to go to this place. It's good.
Right. Yeah, I know. It must be traveling around the league. That's where you eat.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to stake it out.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we can take more pictures of Patrick Kane with his shirt off or something.
Nice.
Oh, man.
All right, dude.
Good times, dude. Go Sharks. We'll be back again later this week to give you a series preview of round two.
Wings or Blackhawks? Who's it going to be?
We'll find out. Love the playoffs, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.